Thank you. Thank you so much for having us here today. You all know Cherie Hales. I'm Kelly Stanage, and we are here today to share with you what we've been learning about water here in Southeast Minnesota. Cherie and I have been studying it for Cherie has been studying it for decades. She and I have been studying it very intensely for the past couple of years. We've basically come to the conclusion that everyone deserves clean drinking water. That seems very simple, a simple premise, but it actually is not the case we found in our area. What we're going to do today is talk a little bit about how our water got to the state it's in today, what is being done about the state of our drinking water, and maybe a little bit about what we can all do. So who here knows about karst geology? Oh, that's wonderful. Just about everyone in the room.
We knew this would be the case.
Yeah, yeah. And I know a couple of people. Nancy and Andy could probably get an honorary degree in karst geology at this point. They've been studying it so much. Then you know that it's characterized by thin topsoils, fractured bedrock, caves, sinkholes, and it's very, very vulnerable to pollution, contamination. In karst geology, it's also the case that there is very little distinction between surface water and groundwater because they interchange water so often because of the sinkholes and the cracks in the bedrock, etc. So, recently, you all know about sinkholes. In Winona County, we have something like over 1,500 sinkholes. An inventory was recently done in Fillmore County, and they found that they have over 10,000 sinkholes in Fillmore County. Pretty amazing. And this is just a picture of a cross-section of our bedrock layers. One of the aquifers is called the Prairie du Chien Aquifer. This is an aquifer that many wells in our county are drilled into. They draw water out of. And that aquifer has been condemned. You are unable, as per the Minnesota Well Code, you may not drill a well into that aquifer anymore. And the next aquifer below that is called the Jordan. And the Jordan is becoming very contaminated in western Winona County. So this pie graph shows the sources of specifically nitrates. Now these numbers are statewide numbers. So statewide, 72% of nitrate in our groundwater comes from row crops. In our particular area here in Winona County, that is closer to 89%. 2% is from septic systems. 1% is from stormwater. And 1% is from feedlots. Now, take into account that that 1% for feedlots is just that location of the feedlot itself. Those feedlots are generating, the animals in those feedlots are the ones who generate the manure that gets spread on the row crops from which that 72 to 89% of nitrate in groundwater comes from. Does that make sense? Okay. So why is this important? We talk a lot about nitrates. One reason we talk a lot about nitrates is because they're easy to measure. Nitrate is easy to measure in groundwater because it's measured in parts per million. Some of the other chemicals are measured in parts per billion. It's very expensive. It takes very specialized electronic sensors to detect those other chemicals. But nitrates are relatively easy to measure. So why is it? Why are nitrates dangerous? Well, it was discovered that they were dangerous, in particular to babies, in 1962, because many babies drinking water high in nitrates were succumbing to a condition called blue baby syndrome. And I would say the actual scientific term, but I cannot pronounce it. but it's called blue baby syndrome. It is a condition in which the red blood cells cannot carry oxygen. And so the baby turns blue. They can die from this. So this condition was recognized as a result of drinking water high in nitrates way back in 1962. And as you might imagine, medical science has progressed since 1962. And since then, they've found that there are other conditions that occur at levels much less than 10 parts per million of nitrates. At 5 parts per million, bladder, ovarian, and thyroid cancers increase. At 3.87 parts per million, colorectal cancer increases. And at 1 part per million, there are birth defects, low birth weight, and premature birth at much higher incidence. So that 1962 10 parts per million level is probably quite old, and we should consider revising it. I just recently found out about what's going on in Nebraska. they are finding very high levels of very serious disease due to nitrates and other agricultural chemicals in their water. And one of the things that was pointed out in this article that I found on it is that who pays for it? This article was about public water supplies. It's very expensive to get the nitrate out of the water, okay? And what they pointed out was who pays for getting that nitrate out of the public water system? It's the people that are drinking it, not the people that are causing it. So it's something that's being recognized throughout the nation, especially in agricultural areas. So now we're getting into what is being done about this. The state has been aware of this and has been studying it for over 40 years. It took the state 10 years to develop and 18 years to try to implement what they call best management practices. These best management practices are the practices they recommend to farmers who grow row crops in the application of fertilizer and manure. What they call a statement of need and reasonableness, which is something that the state has to go through, every agency has to go through before they put rules in place, okay? In their 2018 statement of need and reasonableness, there was actually a section heading of the 100 plus page report that read, "The Department of Agriculture has determined that the implementation of best management practices related to nitrogen fertilizer is not effective." 10 years to come up with them, 18 years to...
So it took them
reject them. They are now finding they are not effective. And they say so plainly in their report. We've been meeting with the Environmental Quality Board, we've met with the Pollution Control Agency, and in our meeting with the Environmental Quality Board, we asked them, how are we doing with regard to nitrates in our water in Winona County? What's happening? They sent us this graph in response, and you can see us, the yellow area down there with the up arrow. We are the only area in Minnesota where nitrates in our groundwater are increasing. In other words, they're getting worse. Our water is getting worse. We're the only area in the state where that is happening.
So you probably remember in the summer of 22, there was a major fish kill on the Rush Creek. Shortly after that, a large group of people got together at Farmers Park to talk about it, and some of those people went on and continued working, and legislation happened last year that tightened up some of the rules around fish kills and reporting. Later that fall, I ran into Kelly, and she said, some of us want to get together and keep talking about groundwater. So, you know, we got together, and Kelly says, we need to do an educational forum and let people know what's going on. And I said, whoa, Kelly, we're going to need some help. So we talked to other groups and organizations that work with water issues, and the Clean Water Coalition came together early 2023. And we provided two large educational forums and collaborated on one in Fillmore County. As Kelly mentioned, we met with the directors of two of the state agencies. There's been numerous interviews, newspaper, radio, television, with people from the coalition. Lots of letters written to the state agencies. And now we're talking about sponsoring another forum to kind of update on recent developments regarding groundwater here.
Recent developments, what has happened? It's actually really exciting what has happened. As activists, we normally don't get to see the results of all of our activism. In this case, one of our members from the coalition, the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, put together a petition to send to the EPA.
Environmental Protection Agency, the federal agency.
To the federal Environmental Protection Agency. Some of you were very instrumental, Nancy and Bonnie. I saw Bonnie here. In getting some signatures on that petition, and it worked. The EPA does not always take up the issues that are brought to them. But in this case, they did. And what the petition asked for was five things. Number one, investigate sources and quantities. So number one, find out what the sources and quantities of nitrate pollution are. Notify the public of the dangers, the health risks. Supply free drinking water to those folks affected. Prevent feedlots from opening or expanding, and require industrial agriculture to modify their practices, remember those BMPs, to reduce nitrate pollution. The EPA actually did respond to the petition, and they ordered state agencies, namely the Department of Health, the Department of Ag, and Pollution Control to actually do something about this. The only thing they did not take up was the one point on feedlots, but that could be construed as a practice as well. Basically, they said, the EPA expects Minnesota to hold sources of nitrate accountable using all available tools to reduce the amount of nitrate they release to groundwater.
So in January, the state agencies issued a work plan addressing nitrates in southeast Minnesota. We feel that this plan fails to genuinely address the long-standing issue of contamination in groundwater and that it lacks urgency. A number of environmental organizations and individuals agree and have been contacting the governor and the state agencies, as has the coalition. The Department of Health does respond to the mandate regarding notice and alternate water, but it's initially only for the most vulnerable and doesn't begin until next summer. If a young family were to find out today that their water wasn't safe to drink, there is no immediate help for them. The Pollution Control Agency might tighten rules on feedlots and permitting, but lacks a firm commitment to do so. What they have said they will do is form a task force to answer questions and determine the concern, which we already know, and the EPA has confirmed, the concern is that the water isn't safe to drink. And they'll make recommendations in the summer of 2025. The Department of Ag plans to continue with voluntary measures that they have already said don't work. So this is a public health crisis. Everyone deserves safe drinking water now, not at some unknown point in the future. So if you have questions, you know, we will do our best to answer them, and if we don't have the answers, we can track them down, maybe.
We do have cards in the back that you can pick up. Some of the things that we suggest people can do to take action.
Sorry.
That's okay. Are to write letters, emails to your local, state, and federal lawmakers, because we have made a federal issue out of this. Yay! write letters to the editor and attend county board meetings and make public comments. We do have some county commissioners who are very interested in making certain that we have clean water in our area. But they sometimes need your help to stand up and say, we need clean water. It helps their case that they are making when you go to the meetings and do that. So we have some materials in back if you'd like to take a look at them, and we're happy to take any questions you might have. We might not have the answers, but we can probably find the people that can get the answers. Really good question. And the answer is that the Department of Health requires cities to keep their water safe, what's called safe. So in terms of nitrates, they keep their water at below, actually, the 10 part per million. Okay, I think most of them keep it at 9 or something. They do keep it below the 10 parts per million. But we found that many diseases occur at levels where drinking water is 5, 3, 1 parts per million. So the standards that the cities are held to are not keeping up with current medical science, basically. And it is much more prevalent out in the country where you have a private well, because they are completely unregulated. It is up to the private well owner to keep their water safe for themselves. And I will say, back to the issue of city water, the Nebraska study that I showed, investigation I should say, that I showed, did mention that the nitrate level is the most violated when it comes to cities keeping their water clean. And that they were pointing to scores of cases in Nebraska where the water was above 10 parts per million in nitrates.
In Des Moines, I've read that they have the most expensive equipment that's ever been installed for removing nitrates from water, for their city water. because Iowa has a really significant problem with concentrated animal feedlots.
Yeah, if you take a look at where all those health studies were done, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio, Missouri,
Nebraska,
all places where animal ag and agriculture are present in high numbers.
Right. It would be the coalition of organizations. We haven't decided yet. I mean, because of this whole thing with the EPA and the response from the state, we're kind of waiting to see what happens next. And as far as removing nitrates from water, a lot of people in the country, if they know their water isn't safe, then they either they buy water or they get like a reverse osmosis, but you know, it's spendy.
Reverse osmosis systems are effective at getting water, nitrogen out of water. They're somewhat expensive, and you have to maintain them.
Right.
It's not just something you can throw on your water system and have it work forever. You got to change filters, et cetera. So. But also, I found in doing all this study that reverse osmosis systems will not remove nitrogen from your water once it gets to the 40 parts per million level. When it's at that and above, it will no longer be effective. So, and we've seen wells in Winona County that are 40 parts per million and above.
Mm-hmm. So,
I guess
I would like to say that I feel, you know, having paid some attention to this for quite a while, I feel more optimistic than I ever have before because there's been a lot of media attention on the whole business with, you know, petitioning the EPA and their response to the state. I'm not saying that everything we want to have happen will happen. I'm a little too cynical for that, but I am hopeful, and I think this is a really important time for people to raise their voices. And if you know people who have wells, remind them to get their well tested. But you know, be in contact with your elected officials and the state agencies. Let them know you're paying attention, and maybe we can make a difference here. Because of karst, water can move through this landscape really quickly. So there, you know, I mean, it's a mixed thing. There's something called legacy nitrates, which can be chemically identified from decades ago. But there's other instances where they've tested, and in a matter of hours, it moves through. So I think there is a chance that the aquifers would clean, certainly better than we don't make efforts to clean them up. And as our friend, the hydrologist Paul Wotska says, you can't drill your way to clean water, because the deeper you go, the more other kinds of minerals, like radium, for instance, are in.
Many of our members are in the room, okay? Implement.